A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Hi, everyone. I'm very excited to talk with Kevin Wilson today. How you doing, Kevin?
Doing good, Adam. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Absolutely, for sure. So for those that don't know you, Kevin, can you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been an interesting journey for me. I'm 54 years old, and the Christmas of 2021, between Christmas and New Year's, I found myself in a very bad state, Adam. Long story short, I wound up in the ICU. I had been battling COVID. I was right at 311, let's call it 310 pounds. I'm 5'7", so I'm not very tall, and I was carrying around 311 pounds. I got COVID, it kicked my butt, and long story short on that, my wife found me one morning passed out downstairs because we had separated. She had went upstairs. I was quarantining myself in the master bedroom downstairs, and she just woke up one morning about 4 a.m. and felt the urge to come check on me, and I was passed out in the bathroom. And I couldn't hardly function. I remember telling her she had to get me to the emergency room. And somehow or another, she got me in the car. She got me to the emergency room. And we got separated immediately because I was COVID positive and pretty much not conscious. Come to find out, my oxygen was very low. I wound up in ICU. I got separated from Deborah, my family. I didn't get to tell my wife goodbye. I didn't get to tell her I loved her. I didn't have my phone on me. I was lying in ICU with the doctors telling me that there was not much more they could do for me. They had one thing that they could hit me with, and I had to sign a waiver for them to treat me with it. But they said, other than, intubating me and putting me under, and keeping me on my stomach, there was nothing else they could do, other than see if this would work out. So Adam, I sat there in ICU. And I was told over and over and over again by the nurses and the medical staff that I was clinically and morbidly obese, and that I checked all the flags for someone who was high at risk. And you know, earlier in my life, Adam, I used to be a lot more in shape. Deborah and I got married in 1991. And back in those days, in the late 80s, early 90s, I would compete in bench press competitions and squat competitions. I did some powerlifting back in those days. So I understood fitness, but I didn't understand metabolic health really back then. But in ICU, I made a commitment. I told God, I said, God, I want to see my family. I want to get out of this hospital. And I got out of ICU that week. I came home on New Year's Day, 2022, and in 2022 was a huge struggle for me, Adam. I went many dark places. I got caught up in all of the food pyramid. I got caught up in counting calories. I got caught up in doing away with meat, doing away with fat, no fat, low fat, vegetarian, salads, a little bit of chicken here and there. I got pulled into that whole world, Adam. And I found myself not in a good mental state that year. It really led me down a path that was pretty dark. I could not get the weight off. If anything, I put on more weight during that time. to kind of close up the introduction, in March of this year, I found carnivore.
Mm-hmm.
I had started in January of 2023 of this year, I started onto the keto.
Right.
I got introduced to keto and I started making progress on keto. I lost my first 40 pounds on keto.
Okay.
And then I got exposed to some key people that probably you and I are familiar with, Dr. Ken Berry, Dr. Anthony Chafee. A little later on, I actually ran into Carrie at Homestead Howe on YouTube. But I started feeling so good on the keto platform, and I started learning more and more. I became ketovore. And then from ketovore, in March of this year, I went full-fledged carnivore, beef, butter, bacon, and eggs. I just can say that in my sleep now. I lost 110 pounds, from 310 to 200 pounds. I started lifting weights again, not that I needed to, but that desire to get back in the gym came back. And Adam, I haven't had a desire to lift weights since I was 22, 23 years old. It just kind of left me through the years. It just didn't burn in me. Well, when I started on carnivore, this past March, 2 weeks later, I started lifting again. And I was just amazed at the progress. So here I am, the end of 2023. I'm still around 198 to 201, 202 pounds, depending on, you know, how that day goes. And I've gotten free from counting calories. I stopped counting calories when I went full-fledged carnivore in March. And I got liberated is what I like to tell people. I got on track, and my next goal right now is I'd like to see if I can get down to around 190, 195. But with my frame and a lot of my weightlifting stuff, I don't know how possible that's going to be. I feel so good at 200. But I do think I could shed a couple more pounds. But that's my story. And that's kind of how I got introduced to the carnivore community. And Adam, that's how I found your channel, and that's how I found Carrie. And this has just been a wonderful experience.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. Since you were 22, you haven't really wanted to work out. And now all of a sudden, bingo, it's back.
Right.
Yeah. That's very cool.
And I mean, Adam, the energy, people think I'm crazy, but see this, I think that's what hooked my wife. Deborah knows me, right? I mean, we've known each other since 1987. We started dating in 87. Deborah knows me. And even she began to be like, you know, where's all this energy? What in the world? You know, I was working remote, so I'm in technology, and a lot of us were still working remote or working from home. As long as I have a computer and I can get on VPN, I can work anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I started walking. I mean, I just had all this energy. I would clean, you know, and I've always tried to help around the house. And, you know, it's Deborah and I have kind of always made that our job. It's not her job or my job. It's our house.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I just would clean and do laundry and do the kitchen. And Deborah, my wife's a school teacher, and she would come home and was like, you know, she would look around and be like, okay. You know, and she's like, at 7 o'clock at night, I'd look at her and go, hey, you want to let's go walking on the beach? And I was like, what? I'm like, yeah, you know, we live 3 miles from the beach right here in Charleston. I said, do you want to let's go walk the beach? And she's like, sure, you know? And I mean, the energy, Adam, and the mental clarity that has come back, it's contagious. And Deborah joined in with me pretty early on, and thank God she did, because I don't think we're kind of empty nesters. My daughter graduated from Clemson several years ago. She's got her job. She lives in Colorado. Mm-hmm. My son's a senior at Clemson. So he, you know, during school, he's up at Clemson 4 hours away. So we're kind of in the early stage of empty nesters. And it's just like, if Deborah didn't partner in on this, probably because of how I grew up, and we can talk about that in a little bit, Adam, my sugar addiction, my carb addiction.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just me trying to do this and Deborah was still eating, you know, the other stuff, I don't think I would have made it. I'm really blessed to have a wife, and now she loves it. I mean, she has seen tremendous progress. My son at 21 years old is now embracing it, and he's getting stronger and bigger in the gym. Now he's a lot taller than me. Daniel's 6'1", And, but he's lost almost 70 pounds of fat in the last year at 21 years old and put on muscle and strength. And I keep trying to tell him, go try out for the Clemson football team. You know, just go try out, just go try it, you know?
All right.
But, but it's infected my family. My daughter, is kind of, she's keto vore now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not shoving it on anybody, Adam. I'm just kind of letting my life be a testimony to others. And it opens doors for that discussion.
That's awesome. So the transformation in you has been so radical that now you've effectively influenced three other people, or just by proxy, that now they're essentially doing the same thing because they want what you have.
Right. Another interesting thing is, Adam, my YouTube channel is not focused on carnivore too much right now.
Right.
I started my channel for real probably about 4 years ago, and doing drag racing suspension videos. And I enjoy drag racing. I enjoy setting up drag cars and making drag cars hook and leave the line and go straight. Like, my tagline is go fast, go straight, be safe. So my channel has been built on that. And now that I've began to sprinkle in, because everyone started asking me, like, hey, Kevin, how much weight have you lost? You know, Adam, I'm embarrassed. If you go look at some videos from 2 years ago, it's embarrassing to look at how I look.
Right.
But then my subscribers began to be like, they would start messaging me and be like, hey, man, what are you doing to lose this weight? You look so good, and you look like you're lifting weights again. What are you doing? And that opened up doors. And then my live stream with Carrie, many of my suspension subscribers, my drag racing subscribers, tuned in. I have about 12 of them now who have told me their own beef, butter, bacon, and eggs. And they're asking me, you know, questions. I'm helping them behind the scenes. I'm giving them advice. And I've had two strangers at Planet Fitness Gym approach me who have been watching me. You know, you kind of tend to run into the same people. If you go to a gym, you kind of go around the same time. You know, we're creatures of habit.
Right.
And I've had a couple people come up to me and be like, hey, what are you doing? You know, and a lot of people will be like, hey, how old are you? And I'm like, 54. And they're like, hey, what are you doing? And I've made some good friends, and most of them, that opens up the channel for me to talk about. It starts with nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a young man probably in his early 20s the other day approach me and say, hey, I've noticed you around the gym for the last couple months. Can you give me some advice? And I got his name and I said, sure. I said, it starts with the food that's going in your mouth. He goes, well, I'm doing all the pre-workouts. I'm loading up on all these carbs, you know, like an hour before I come to the gym. And I let him finish. And I said, you know, you sound like me when I was your age, but that's not what I do anymore. And he's like, oh, well, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a carnivore. He's like, well, what does that mean? I said, I eat meat. I just eat meat. And everyone, Adam was like, wait a minute. You don't eat like fruit? Nope. Vegetables? Nope. You just eat meat. I said, yeah, I eat beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, and water, and salt.
Nice. So what do they say after that? Usually with me, after they get the fruit in and the vegetables, and I say no, then it's crickets.
Like, yeah, I mean.
What do I say now?
Yeah, I think at that point I got their attention. You know, I've had a few people, like in my own family, be like, yeah, no, come back to me in a year and we'll talk more. I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, but so far I've not had anybody like slam the door in my face in that conversation. Genuinely, everyone's been like, I'm going to research that more. And I'm like, hey, if you give me your email, I will send you some videos on YouTube. And they're from very respected people in the community. And I have this piece, Adam, that I share out on my YouTube channel. And it's not my videos. It's everyone else's videos that really can do a much better job of explaining the science and the biology behind all of this and the metabolism structure behind all this. And I get them watching these channels. And I'm like, hey, you're an adult. You know, go research it. Go listen to what these people have to say. And I said, I'll make a challenge with you. If you'll try it for 8 to 12 weeks, and if it doesn't work, then hey, no harm, no foul.
Yep. Go back to your cookies and cupcakes.
Yeah, go back to your old ways.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's awesome. So you lost, what'd you say, 110 pounds so far?
110 pounds.
Okay, very cool.
Now, I will tell you this, Adam. There's a, up in Clemson, there's a nutrition store that has a scale called an InBody scale.
Mm-hmm.
And you stand on it and you hold these handles. And it's supposed to be the closest thing to a, like a real DEXA scan where they actually can tell you your true body mass index and how much fat's on your body.
Mm-hmm.
I got that done when I first started carnivore. And I can't remember all the results, but I think it calculated me, and you actually stand on it with your bare feet, and you hold it with your hands, and it sends a small electrical current through your body. You don't feel it or anything. And it measures and it calculates all this stuff for you. Cause you know, if I stand on like a traditional scale and I put my height and weight in, it tells me I'm like morbidly obese because at 5'7", I shouldn't be 200 pounds.
Right.
According to those traditional measurements. But I did this InBody thing and I was like around, according to that, like 34% body fat. So I was pretty bad off in the beginning.
Right.
Mind you now, I'd already lost about 40 pounds. And my son goes to this place pretty frequently and he will get this measurement done about once a week now. Well, I went back after I had lost, I think, 75 pounds total. All right. Mm-hmm. So I had all these people telling me, well, you know, this is going to be wrong. This is going to be wrong. And I've kind of done this measurement now periodically and I'm all the way down now to 21% body fat.
Awesome.
And the last several times I haven't really lost or gained any weight, but the body fat's still coming down and the lean muscle mass is going up at 54 years old.
Nice.
Now I had a lot of comments in Carrie's live stream. You know, there's some people, Adam, who have nothing better to do than to just bash people in the comments.
Right.
And, you know, people are like, oh, you're on TRT, you're on testosterone, you're taking steroids. There's no way you're adding this kind of muscle at 54 years old. And it's like, you know, you pay for the blood work, I'll go get the blood test.
Right.
I just can't explain how much this lifestyle has changed my energy, my metabolism, and my strength at 54. I wish I knew this at 21.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I'm right there with you in terms of building muscle. You know, it's not a bunch for me, but I put on about 12 pounds of muscle and,
amen.
I'm telling you right now, exercise to me is a 4-letter word. You stopped exercising when you're around 22. I stopped when I was 18 and
I hear you.
Started working. I'm like, man, forget this. This is too much like working. I'm already working. So I'm not doing that. Right.
Right.
And I started carnivore and, I lost all this weight and started gaining muscle without even exercising.
Exactly.
It's insane.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, I noticed that too, Adam. I mean, just from, you know, in the beginning, Adam, I was so obese. It was so embarrassing. I would wear as big a clothes as I can find to not fit me, you know, because I was I was so ashamed
mm-hmm.
of how I looked. In the beginning, Adam, when I got out of ICU, well, first of all, I was on oxygen for a month. So they sent me home with oxygen. It took me about a month to come off of oxygen. And that whole year, I kind of, looking back on, I think I went through a little bit of depression. I think I really kind of didn't know what to do. I was doing all this stuff that was supposed to work. I was eating 3 meals a day. I had, you know, back then I avoided red meat because it was going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't eat any fat because fat was going to make you fat. So it had to be low fat or no fat. And Adam, I walked around every day starving. I went to bed hungry. I woke up hungry. And that I could usually sustain it for about 10 or 11 days. And then I would just lose it. I would just go splurge. And for 2 days, I would just eat everything in sight. And then it was almost like I was guilty again. You know, I had failed because everyone in our society crams down your throat. A calorie is just a calorie. You know, it's calories in, calories out. And now to some degree, Adam, I understand what that means. I get it, right? I'm not saying that doesn't matter at all. But I disagree now. A calorie is not just a calorie. It might be a calorie on some, explosion in a lab. It might measure a certain amount of energy. But what your body does with it when it goes through your mouth and into your stomach is very different from calorie to a calorie. And, you know, I got caught in this, you know, just eat less and move more, Kevin. You just got to eat less and move more. Just eat more leafy greens, you know, get out and walk. And I mean, I was eating so many leafy greens, I couldn't stand it. And then I began to have all this, all these stomach issues, bowel issues. I never knew from one meal to the next, you know, if I was going to have a problem in 30 minutes or not. You know, I mean, I just, it was a mess. And I just got and so depressed with eat less, move more. And I mean, I just felt like a failure every time I turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you're talking to someone who actually knew his way around a gym at one time. I understood what to do to get in shape according to the world standards. Now, back then I was loading all these carbs like these young guys are still doing today. And I would go through these bouts where my sugar would drop real low in the gym. There's been many times in the gym when I would try to work out in the morning in a fastest state. And I would almost lose my sight. My hearing would go and I would get real cold and clammy and I'd have to get some sugar in me to get my blood sugar back up. But I didn't understand. I was going through these huge glucose swings back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been an amazing experience. But, after that 2022, I don't know how. I wish I could remember what keyed me in on keto. I can't remember. I don't remember what happened, but I stumbled on this keto thing. And somehow or another, that exposed me to Dr. Kim Berry. And I've actually written Dr. Kim Berry and shared this with him. I said, your channel changed my life. It changed the trajectory of my metabolic health, because I began to watch this. I'm like, wow, this really kind of makes sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it resonated with what I was going through. So I, even though I didn't know this guy from Adam, you know, no pun intended, it just started making sense. And I'm a technology guy. I started researching, you know, I started doing some fact checking and everything else. And it all made sense.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, it's almost like your experience in 2022 with low fat and things like that was almost a mild form of torture, you know, starvation.
It was. I mean, it really was mental torture, physical torture. I wasn't fun to be around. I would get so angry so fast. And even Deborah was like, you know, she's like, something's not right, you know? And she's like, we would go out to eat and I'd be looking at my app, you know, and I'd ask the waitress, you know, how many calories, what do you think's in this? Cause I was weighing my food, Adam.
Oh my goodness.
I had a scale. I would weigh out my food, my leafy greens. And I was tracking things down to the gram on my iPhone.
That is torture.
Yeah. So when we went out to eat on the way to the restaurant, I would start getting angry and I'd start getting in a bad mood. Cause I'm like, you know, why couldn't we just eat at home? You know, I don't know. And it ruined my night because I couldn't understand how many calories I was getting in, what was going on. And, you know, if I was going through that as a 52, 53 year old man, can you imagine how many people in our world are going through that as well? And it's gotta be a message that somehow or another, we gotta keep preaching this message and getting people at least some option to hear an alternative. They may not choose to try it, mm-hmm. so be it. But I think that's what's got me so connected with like you and Carrie in this community is because we need to keep preaching this message and get the word out.
Absolutely. I don't think I'll ever stop. This has been the single largest thing besides getting married, having kids and being saved. Yeah, it's the single largest thing that's ever happened to me. And as far as trajectory, like you were talking about, it's probably one of the biggest.
Correct.
Mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Other than me accepting Christ as my savior and me getting married and having two beautiful children. Now I want them to understand it. And I'm not, you know, I'm not shoving it on Rebecca or Daniel. Mm-hmm. They've seen a change in their dad. They have seen it with their own two eyes. But I want them to have more education around what I'm doing. Right. And, you know, they have to make that decision for themselves. But see, I didn't have this when I was growing up. If anything, Adam, you know, my mom and dad were doing everything they could to put food on the table. My dad provided for us, but we were middle class, hardworking, and we were doing everything we could. So back then, when I was eating a box of Lucky Charms every day, you know, my mom and everyone was told breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And these cereals are grains and they're healthy for you. And, you know, you should do this. So at 6 or 7 years old, Adam, I was eating a box of Lucky Charms every morning. Wow. I would wake up. My mom would have one of those old Cool Whip bowls sitting on the table, a big bowl. Yeah. I couldn't eat out of a little bowl.
Right.
And she would have the milk, the Lucky Charms, and then the table sugar in our little Tupperware container with a little scooper in it. Right. I would fill the Cool Whip bowl up with my Lucky Charms. I would pour the milk on it, and then I would add 2 to 3 scoops of sugar, and I would sit at the table, and I would eat until the box of cereal was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, from the time I was 6 or 7 years old to I was almost 15 years old, that was my breakfast.
Wow. Wow, that's a sugar addiction right there for sure.
And I, you know what? People say, you know, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Well, I'm a sugar addict. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been an easy road for me, Adam. I mean, early on, I fell off. And you know, I found out that for me, it couldn't be in the house. Now I'm better now. I mean, I can be around it now. I mean, but those first 60 days, Adam, it's almost like being an alcoholic. You know, you wouldn't take an alcoholic to a function with all this alcohol everywhere and expect them just to kind of like, you know, yeah, whatever.
Right.
I mean, I would be around cookies and cake and different things. See, meals are a huge part of our family. And my wife and my family, we grew up where that was a family thing. You sat down and you ate and it's still important to us.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was like you ate, and to not eat was rude. You know, you didn't sit down at someone's house at their table and not eat what they put in front of you. That was very rude. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you sit around with all these people and coffee and cake and all these pastries. You know, early on, I'd find myself in these situations, and all it would take is for me just to have one little piece. And then before you know it, I was hiding in another room, you know, shoving all this stuff in my mouth.
Right.
You know, I didn't want anybody to see me because they knew I was trying to lose weight. But and then, you know, I would just feel terrible for 2 days.
Yeah, for sure. So can you elaborate a little bit on how the carnivore diet has helped you to overcome those sugar cravings and addictions?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, now I did make some carnivore mistakes. And this really took some undoing. In the beginning, Adam, I was doing too lean of carnivore. I mean, it has been drilled in me, and my generation has been drilled into low fat, no fat. So even though I began to get into keto and carnivore, I still was caught in this low fat conundrum. And even though I was listening to all the people on YouTube and Instagram talk about how important fat was, I wasn't doing it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The key for me, Adam, when I was able to really crush those addictions was when I brought the fat intake up. And what happened for me was about 30 to 40 days into carnivore, I kind of reached this weird plateau to where my energy began to go down. Some of my old depressing ways started creeping back in.
Mm-hmm.
And all the weight loss stalled. Now, you know, it's easy for us to sit here and tell people, oh, don't listen to the scale, don't listen to the scale.
But right.
It's a fact of life. People like to know what they weigh.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something early on that mattered to me because I'd been told so much I was morbidly obese. And so the scale weight was important to me in the beginning. It's not anymore. I think I weighed in 3 or 4 days ago. If I were to weigh in right now, Kerry, I'm probably 198 to 200 right now. I don't really care anymore. But anyways, I was not eating fat. I was eating all this protein, but I was eating lean meat. I would eat eggs, but I was still eating more egg whites and not so much egg yolks. You know, I was doing all these things and some bacon here and there. I was trading grease off of everything. And I don't remember whose channel I saw, but it hit me right between the eyes. It might have been Anthony Chaffee or Tim Berry. I can't remember. About fat. Well, I still were having these cravings too. You know, I was still like, I was craving sugar and carbs and all this stuff. When I brought the fat up, Adam, and when I really started eating the fat, like, you know, early on, I would get a ribeye and I would trim all that fat off and I pushed up here because you know what? Don't eat the fat. Don't eat the fat. Right. It's good for you. And then one day I told Deborah, I'm like, because she was kind of experiencing the same plateau because we were doing this together.
Right.
And I said, okay, Deborah, I want you to watch this video with me. I've watched it. I want you to watch it with me. I want to watch it again. And she's like, oh my goodness, you know, we're not doing that. We're not eating this fat. I'm like, no, we're not. We upped our fat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we ate every, I mean, you know, like if there's a little silver skin or something on the ribeye, of course, you're not, I mean, it's hard to chew that up. But right. I mean, my goal was to have a ribeye and nothing left. And we started doing that. And it took me a little time to actually appreciate the taste of that fat. But once I did, Adam, those cravings went away. And I believe that was the key for me was I needed to get full. And I needed to have more fat coming in. And once I started doing that, then slowly those cravings went away. Those cravings went away. And right now, Adam, you could put a spread of pies in front of me and chocolate cake, which I love. And while I might be tempted, I can walk away. Right. The first couple months, that would have been tough. So for me, Adam, I think the message that I don't know if you had the same experience or not, but getting the right amount of fat. And also, you know, I don't want to be crude here, but my digestive tract improved when I added more fat. And I actually think that's when the muscle, lean muscle and the strength started coming because then, see, I didn't really think about this, but when you eat protein with fat, now all your organs, as God intended them to work, begin to work together. You know, you begin to release bile into your system because of the fat coming in. Well, that bile helps in, you know, digesting the protein. And I mean, it's amazing. Like when a lion eats an antelope, it doesn't eat around the fat.
Right.
You know, I wish I could remember what YouTuber I learned this from. It might have been Dr. Bickman. But, you know, it's like the fat with the protein is where it's at, because even if you eat a lot of protein without fat, you can still spike your glucose.
Right.
But the fat keeps the glucose more level without having big spikes. And I'm going to tell you, Adam, I don't know what my resting insulin was, but right before I got COVID and found myself in ICU, my hands were numb.
Oh,
my hands were tingling. I didn't share that with anybody. But I also was having some weird feelings in my feet. So my extremities were starting to get some tingling and stuff in them. And I cannot imagine what my resting insulin was. I can't say I was insulin resistant, but I had to be a pretty classic case of, and I think I was probably type 2 diabetic at that point.
Wow.
Wow, you see, my whole adult life, Adam, every time I would have that yearly physical that we all dread, and they would, you know, okay, stop eating after 9 o'clock. You're going to get your blood drawn. You can have water. If you drink coffee, it's got to be black, and you're going to get your blood drawn. Every year in my adult life, I was always like, hey, your A1C is a little high. Your glucose is a little high. Kevin, do you have a history of type 2 diabetes in your family? Why, yeah, I do. Well, you know, you're like right there. Well, when I turned 50, I stopped getting blood work because I kind of self-diagnosed myself. I was on the highest dose of blood pressure medicine they could put an individual on. They were wanting to put me on something for my triglycerides. And then they were talking about probably get me on some type 2 diabetes medicine.
Wow.
So I really think had I had some blood work right before COVID, I'd probably qualified as a type 2 diabetic.
Most likely, for sure.
Most likely.
So you mentioned blood pressure medication. Is your blood pressure better now? Or?
Oh, yeah. I came off all my meds.
Wow.
When I lost the first 40 pounds or 45 pounds with keto, I began to get real lightheaded. I mean, I would stand up from my desk to go have a meeting in a conference room with some engineers or walk to the kitchen in my house. I would stand up and everything would start to spin and I would have to kind of hold on. I'm like, what's going on? You know, what's happening here? I've lost this weight. What's happening here? And I had a doctor visit over the telephone and I was explaining to her what was going on. Now, she's been kind of following me since 2019, because I had to have a full hip replacement in 2019 on my right hip. I hurt my hip when I was younger doing bench press competitions. And I hurt it real bad in 2012 doing something stupid one day in the gym, trying to help show some kids how to do something. And I hurt myself. Well, I had to have my hip replaced in 2019. So I've been kind of with this doctor for a while. So I called her and I said, something's wrong. And she's like, what's wrong? And I explained, she goes, Kevin, how much weight have you lost? I said, about 45 pounds. She goes, oh my gosh, you got to come down off that blood pressure medicine. She goes, break them in half. She goes, I want you to don't take a full pill. Just take a half a pill and let's go a couple days and tell me if it gets better. And it did. It got a lot better. And she said, okay, when can you come into the office and let's kind of do a little exam. And I said, you know, a couple of weeks. So I went into the office. By that time I was down 58 pounds and I came in and they took my blood pressure and they said, have you had blood pressure medicine this morning? I said, I had a half a pill. They said, okay, you got to stop taking blood pressure medicine. She goes, they said, your blood pressure medicine is too low. And I'm like, oh, it is. They're like, yes. And the doctor's like, she got me in the room and Adam, she's like, okay, Kevin, you've lost a lot of weight. Is that intentional? I said, oh yeah, doctor, it's very intentional. She goes, okay, good. You know, we just want to make sure when people are losing this kind of weight that they're trying to, and there's not something else wrong. I said, oh no, I get it. I said, no, I've changed my life.
Right.
And she's like, okay, good. Are you eating a lot of leafy greens and your fruits and vegetables? And I said, no. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I don't think you're going to like this, but I went carnivore. And she said, carnivore? Now, this is a doctor now. I mean, I like her. She's been a great doctor to me.
Right.
I said, yeah. She goes, explain that. I said, well, I eat beef, butter, bacon, and eggs.
Uh-oh.
And she sat back in her chair and she said, she pulled out her paperwork and everything, looked at the lab work, looked at everything, looked at the amount of weight I lost. She said, Kevin, I'm going to tell you something. What you just said goes against everything that we've been taught as doctors. But I need to research this more. Keep doing what you're doing because I can't argue with your blood work. I can't argue with your weight loss, and now you're off of blood pressure medicine. She said, so while I may not understand everything that's going on here, who am I to tell you to stop doing what you're doing? She goes, I'm going to research this more.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a really great response. That's definitely not typical in the medical establishment, for sure.
Right, right.
So that's a blessing. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So essentially, the carnivore diet caused your doctor to potentially believe that you had some sort of serious illness. This is why you were losing so much weight.
Yeah. I think, you know, after the, after how much arthritis my hip had from the injury. Now I believe my hip got arthritis because it was injured. Now, could my nutrition have contributed to the arthritis that set in my hip? I don't know. Maybe it could have. But I injured my hip and I hobbled around on it for 7 years And I actually, the ball on the end of my hip bone was gone. And actually a little shorter in my right leg because that ball was gone and the bone went up into the hip socket. And I was rubbing just on that.
Ouch.
So they had to do a full hip replacement. And because of that, though, you know, I had been with her a good bit. I think she initially thought, you know, did I have cancer? You know, was there something else causing all this weight loss?
Mm-hmm.
And she actually did some more blood work after that. Now, I haven't had blood work, Adam, in over a year. And I need to get something scheduled. I haven't had to go to the doctor.
Right.
I haven't had a reason to go to the doctor. But I'm curious what my testosterone levels are. What does my blood work show?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be so much better than it was a year ago.
Right. Yeah. More, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine, Russ, he actually orders blood work on his own from ownyourlabs.com. And
I did not know that.
Yeah. He actually pays an extra like $50, I think, for the nurse to actually just come out to his house and take the blood.
Oh my goodness. You're going to have to make sure I have that information.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll link it in the description below as well.
Yeah.
So, that in combination with Dr. Berry's book, where he talks about all the different types of labs that you might want to get, especially when you're eating this type of a diet. Yeah. You can select specifically what you want from on your labs.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, you've taught me something right here.
Yeah. That's very convenient.
Yes.
Cause I don't like going to the doctor yet.
Yeah. I mean, you know, quite frankly, since all of the pandemic stuff, if I don't have to go in a place like that, I'd rather not.
Right.
You know, I'd just rather not be sitting in a room of other people who might have something I don't want.
Right. I agree for sure. So what was the biggest challenges that you had transitioning away from, you know, high carb and sugar diet?
I think the biggest challenge for me was making sure that I wasn't going to create another problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where now you're starting to tickle into my passion here a little bit. I really believe, Adam, that I had gotten so caught up in everything that I had been taught. I'll share this with you.
Sure.
I have a YouTube channel, and early on, before I found keto, I was trying to teach people, and I made a video on how to track your macronutrients. You know, just what the world needed was another video on how to track fat, carbs, and protein.
Right.
And, you know, Adam, that video was doing pretty good. I don't know why. I mean, I kind of just shot it from the hip. I didn't have a script or anything. I just kind of did, which a lot of my videos I shoot from the hip, because for drag racing, it's just in part of me. I've been in that industry since I was 5 years old. I grew up with my dad building race cars, welding, fabricating chassis, and I just grew up with that. So it was very second nature to me. But I made this video on how to track your calories, and I had a certain app that I was using, which I'm not going to say their name because I don't want to give them any more credit.
Right.
But I had a certain scale, and I walked everyone through what my normal macronutrients were in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fat as could be, but I was making a video and I was metabolic unhealthy, but I was going to teach people how to do all this. And that video was doing so well. When I got involved in keto and then I got into carnivore, I felt convicted over that video because I had gotten free from that bondage. I mean, I literally felt like I was set free spiritually, physically, and emotionally. I deleted the video off my channel.
Wow.
And I had a couple people say, hey, I was going to go watch that video. I can't find it. I'm like, it's gone. You don't need to do that.
Right.
And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, as a YouTuber, when you have a video that's getting that kind of performance, and people are commenting and the views are climbing, I told Deborah, I'm like, I can't in good faith let this keep going. I deleted the video. So for me, Adam, the, the, the hardest thing that I had to overcome was I had to readjust my thinking. I think it was a carnivore soldier the other night. I was on a live stream and he, you know, in the live chat, it's really interesting conversations that, you know, you can learn a lot if you just take time to read and watch. Now there's stuff you need to, you know, I've taught people, hey, there's gold nuggets and everything, but sometimes you're going to throw away more than you keep, but you can learn something in any situation.
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone who was really struggling and carnivore soldier said, well, then you don't really understand your why. And that just resonated with me. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So for me, Adam, what I had to overcome was I had to understand why I was doing this. What is my why? And I had to take what I had been taught and what had been shoved in my head about calories in, calories out, eat less, move more, a calorie is a calorie. I had to throw all that out. And I had to teach myself and train myself a new way to eat.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hardest transition for me. It was the mental side. And I think, you know, Carrie's kind of talking a lot about mental health. That's a real problem today. Mental health with metabolic syndrome is very real. And I had to overcome it. And I consider myself a fairly intelligent individual who can grasp things, but I was in bondage to a way of eating that was not the proper human diet.
Yeah, I love that for sure. And what's amazing to me about so many of these testimonies that I hear from everyone is that you don't necessarily see that until you eat this way, right?
And
then all of a sudden, it's just like a veil is lifted off of everything and you can see things so much more clearly than you did before.
Right. You know, I'll share this with you offline, but my daughter, she's got a lot of wisdom for a 25-year-old. And, you know, our young adult children, you watch them, right? They're on social media all day long. And she began to ask me and wanted to learn more about this. And she had a very good point. And I've gotten this in comments a lot the last couple of days. I've gotten some very rude, nasty comments on some of my carnivore videos.
Right.
And my daughter warned me it was coming. And it's about, you know, how can you eat animals? How can you ruin our planet by eating these animals? And Rebecca told me, she's like, it's coming, Dad. It's coming. I found this video the other day, Adam, of a farmer, a small farmer who raises cattle, chickens, pigs, but his predominant farming activity is raising cattle for slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a very good video objectively about humanely raising cattle. And he made a very good point. And I'll share this video with you. I'll share it with you privately. And if you agree with it or not, you can do with it what you want.
Sure.
But I actually sent that to her and I said, I want you to watch this video from a rancher who addresses the things you told me that I need to be ready to address. And he does it very objectively. He doesn't take sides, Adam. He gives you both sides of the story and he explains to you and he actually shows you the day. He takes a steer. He collects her in the morning. He has to separate her. He loves on her and she's getting ready to go the next morning to be slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes you through this journey. And he looks at the camera and he says, you know, I'm taking her to a small processing, locally owned shop. They will take her life, but it's going to be quick. It's going to not be a big ordeal for her. She's going to be alive and then she's going to not be alive.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, she has lived this beautiful life on this free range farm, grazing and all this stuff. You know, she's not raised in a little pen her whole life and fed all this grain. And he talks about how he doesn't like to feed his cattle grains. He likes them grass fed, grass finished. But he looks at the camera and he says, now, this is heavy on my heart. I'm having to take this cattle. Mm-hmm. And I know her end. And he's like, so for those of you out there who are asking me, well, how can you do that? We should do this humanely. He says, how do you humanely take a life? He's like, it's still death. Right. And he's like, and he walks through how he does this and how he goes through this process. And now he believes God created this hierarchy of the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, we are designed. Our eyes are in the front of our head. We have sharp teeth. You mm-hmm. know, cows' eyes are on the side of their head. They're herbivores. You know, they're always looking for predators. They're designed to have their heads down eating grass, but they always know they're mm-hmm. being, you know, possibly stalked. He said, and it was just a very well done video. He was like, listen, we are designed to eat meat. He's like, our digestive system is designed to eat meat.
Right. Yeah. Our stomach acid is more acidic than a lion.
Right. Right. So, I mean, it's a very tough world out there on some of these topics, and they're real topics. And I think it's important that we know how to address some of those topics. So I'm not sure how we got on that. I apologize.
Yeah, for sure. To go along with that, it's a good thing that lions, tigers, cats, dogs, alligators don't have YouTube accounts, because that person would be very busy complaining on their channels too.
Yeah, at least they'd go complain somewhere else. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. There's some nasty mean people out in the world on those keyboards.
For sure. Yeah. And Dr. Chafee also alludes to the fact that, you know, the pesticide use, just so people can have vegetables without holes in them. And, you know, the machinery, the implements to turn up the soil and turn it over, chews up countless snakes and moles and voles and mice and rabbits and squirrels. I can't even imagine how many are killed in that manner.
Yeah. This farmer actually addressed that. He's like, and he raises vegetables and different things. And he said the amount of chemicals, the amount of tilling of the soil, the amount of nutrients they're always bringing out of the soil, and the amount of man-made chemicals they're putting in to kill the bugs mm-hmm. and insects and all this stuff. And then, you know, it's okay for us to eat. You just wash it, you know, just wash it off. But anyways, you know, he's like, I can tell you right now, the amount of greenhouse emissions that are emitted for me to grow plants versus having cattle free roaming in my field, eating grass, their manure goes back into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the ecosystem for the cattle is so much more efficient than all this stuff and machinery I'm using over here to grow all this produce and all these grains and vegetables. He's like, I'm just telling you, as a farmer, someone who lives this life 7 days a week, he just done such a great job with the video. And I sent that to my daughter, and she's like, Dad, you got to share this video. You got to get this video out, because it addresses both sides.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So what does a typical meal look for you, or a typical day, I should
say? Yeah, good question. For me, I kind of cycle in and out of ground beef or ribeye. I do eat some occasional chicken. So let me walk you through today.
Okay.
Today, I work from home, so I don't go into the office every day, but we are going back into the office more. So when I work from home, I get up early. We're early risers. So usually around 5 a.m., I'm up Eastern time. I'm up. I'm online. I'm checking things, going through stuff. Usually around 10:30, I will scramble some eggs. And I usually, like this morning, I had 8 scrambled eggs with a fair amount of butter. And today I didn't eat any bacon with my eggs. I love bacon, but I don't eat bacon every day. I kind of follow my instincts, really, you know, whatever I'm hungry for. But so this morning I had 8 scrambled eggs with probably 4 tablespoons of butter. And mm-hmm. I use Kerrygold salted butter, and I scrambled those eggs and ate every bit of that. And I was full. And then for dinner tonight, I Publix has a special going on right now with ribeye roast. And we bought several of those ribeye roasts, and I pulled one of those out today, and I was able to cut 3 1/4-inch cuts of ribeye out of that. And I had to square off the end. So I had a couple little pieces of ribeye, and I knew I was going to probably hit the gym around 6:15 tonight. So around 5 o'clock, I took those 2 extra pieces and threw them in a cast iron skillet with a little bit of butter and just fried them right there in the cast iron skillet. I ate those. And then an hour and a half later, I went and worked out. So I probably had maybe that was probably like a 1/2 pound of ribeye an hour and a half before I hit the gym. And then when I got home, I grilled those 3 ribeyes, one for me, one for Deborah, one for Daniel. And and that ribeye that I ate probably about, let's see, it's 8:52 my time. I probably ate around 6:45, maybe 7:15. And that was like a 10-ounce cut of ribeye. And I'm full.
Nice.
And now there are days, Adam, where I'll eat maybe 2.5 pounds of beef. And I don't really understand why. I just go with it. You know, if I eat and I'm still hungry, then I'm going to eat more. And generally what I have found is when I follow that, I usually eat 1 to 2 meals a day. And I don't ever go to bed hungry. I don't ever wake up hungry. I can't explain it because I was eating a lot more volume the old way, but I was always hungry. It had to be the glucose, the swings, right? It just had to be all the swings. But now I eat, it feels like less food, but I'm full. And it's weird. It sustains me.
How many calories are you counting?
I have no idea. I have not counted calories. I'm being dead serious. Maybe you were kidding. I haven't counted calories.
I was kidding.
I don't know. And you know, people will still ask me that. You're eating up 2 pounds of ribeye, Kevin. That's like almost 3,000 calories a day. If you're eating like 6 or 8 scrambled eggs and 1.5 or 2 pounds of ribeye, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm not putting on fat. I'm not getting fat.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a little bit of a confession to make. Back in the day, you know, when I was 5 years old, I was rolling around in the garage in the grease with my dad. So he was a big time into drag racing and stuff like that. And I had got into it as well. And up until I was about 18, I raced Mustangs at the drag strip. So I do have a little bit of familiarity with your passion, but nowhere near on the level that you're at, though.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that's cool, man. I mean, that's how it all got started is, you know, my dad was a hellion. He would street race, and I would go with him out in the street and race, and it caused him and mom to have a few arguments. But I grew up street racing. I mean, literally. Running from the cops. Dad throw me in the car. Let's go. We got to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I spent many days cruising the streets to legally drive around.
I hear you.
Cruise around with somebody next to me and see if they could hang with me.
Yeah. No, those were the days, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, Adam. That's cool.
Yep. Yep. So what kind of cars do you prefer?
Yeah. So our dream, and my dad is 78. And I'm very blessed to still have my dad. We lost my mom a couple of years ago to COVID. We have a 53 Studebaker. That's a big tire car. It's got a pro chassis under it. But it's the original Studebaker top, doors, and rear quarter panels. It's got a stretch front end on it and all. So my handle is Kevin Wilson SBC. Okay. And SBC started out a small block Chevrolet. So my goal was to always build a small block that would outrun the big block. And we were always very successful doing that. I mean, we could build a small block to outrun the big blocks all day long. Now, we could build a big block to run too, but you know, a lot of people didn't understand some of the ways to make horsepower like we used to make horsepower. So we have a 53 Studebaker, and it has a blown alcohol roots blower, small block Chevrolet in it. And so we, you know, we do a lot of gambling racing and heads up racing and stuff like that. It's not a street race. It's a track car. So right. we trailer it wherever we go. But we run in the IHRA predominantly around the Southeast and go to some events. But it's a nostalgia car. You know, so being a 53 Studebaker, it's different. Mm-hmm. And before that, we had a 48 Ford that we back halved and put a four leak under. And it had that same blown small block Chevrolet in it. But when our dream, my dad and I have always had this dream of having a 53 Studebaker. And we found a Roland chassis about 3 years ago and we bought it. I bought it. And then we took the motor and drivetrain out of the 48 Ford and put it in the 53 Studebaker.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that, man. Yeah, that's very cool. So you, so how many times have you driven that to go get some steaks?
Yeah, not very often. I drive the Studebaker about an eighth or quarter mile at a time.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, there's probably 10 gallons of gas too.
Yeah. We run through about 4 gallons in an 8 mile pass. So by the time we crank it, I do a burnout and I make a pass. It's 4 gallons of alcohol.
Wow. Oh, man. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that.
Yep.
Yeah. The Mustangs that I drove, you know, I would soup them up too. And it's, I would, because I couldn't keep my foot out of it.
Right.
You know, I had a 4-barrel carburetor in it and whatnot. And yeah, it was about 5 miles to the gallon. So I couldn't keep my foot out of it. But mm-hmm. yeah, well, I did all the weird tricks, you know. I was mainly Mustang Fox body.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, taking the wipers off. Taking the sound deadening material out of the car, okay. ripping the seats out, you know, poor man's drag racer.
Yep. Yep. Been there.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. So if you, what advice would you give to someone that's considering the carnivore diet?
My advice would be, and I've done this a lot lately, try it, but give it 8 weeks. It literally took about 6 to 8 weeks for me, Adam, to adjust. And I say that because of the, let's just say, all right, I'm 53 years old and well, no, I'm 54. Sorry. I'm 54 years old. I'll be 55 this coming June. Mm-hmm. So let's just say from the time I was 6, I was consuming a box of cereal with sugar on top all the way up until I was 14. And I started that back not long after we got married. I started consuming a box of cereal every morning not long after we got married. I remember Deborah, one of the first mornings she woke up and the box of cereal was gone. It concerned her. But anyways, so let's just say for 40 years of my life, I consumed all this junk. It took about 8 weeks for me, I think, to get my stomach health back because we cut out, I mean, all seed oils. I mean, that was like seed oils were gone, processed foods gone, sugar gone. And it took me about 8 weeks for my, I think my gut and my body to be like, hey, time out. What's going on? You know, hey, something's changed here. So my advice to people is if you truly want to try carnivore, commit to 8 weeks. Now I've got some close friends and they may watch this video who have told me they're going to do it after the holidays. They're going to start it after the new year. In my opinion, you don't have a good enough why if you're willing to keep postponing it until people truly understand what they're doing to their metabolic health. They're not, I don't think they have the urgency yet to understand what's going on. Now for me, it took me sitting in an ICU bed for a week, not able to see my family again, being told how morbidly obese I was and that I might not live. Adam, I really laid in that bed and thought I could die and not get to see my wife.
Yeah. That's tough.
So wow. Maybe for me, I had a why.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, sorry. Maybe people don't have a good enough why yet. But if they're willing to try it, commit to 8 weeks. and give yourself a chance to really test drive this thing out. You can't just make a change and in 3 or 4 days throw it all away because you're not seeing something, or this has happened, or this is going on. It must be because I'm eating meat now.
Mm-hmm.
Your body has to heal from all the years of abuse that we have put our bodies through with processed foods, seed oils, sugar, and everything. All the years we've eaten that way, you don't undo that in just a couple of days. But our bodies are so resilient, and I believe so perfectly designed by God, that when we start going down this path, our bodies can heal very quickly. Now, there's consequences to the decisions I made for 40 plus years of my life, and I get it. But I'm going to fight as hard as I can, Adam, for the years I have left to have more years left. And for me, it's worth it.
I love that. That is awesome. I wholeheartedly agree. I couldn't have said it better. If I'm going to be here on this earth, I'm going to try to live it as healthy as I possibly can. And how much easier could it get than eating ribeyes?
Right. You know, and every now and then people will be like, well, man, you know, I don't have a technology job. I can't afford that. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. We spend less money on groceries now than we ever did.
Absolutely.
When it's beef, butter, bacon, and eggs. Now, my refrigerator doesn't look like Dr. Chafee's refrigerator yet.
Right.
But I mean, it's literally eggs, bacon, and steak, and ground beef. Now, I do eat my share of ground beef. Okay, don't get me wrong. I eat a lot of ground beef.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, my grocery bill went down to about 40% of what it was.
Correct. I believe it.
Yeah, and I could have just replaced, you know, what I was spending on the standard American diet with ribeyes easily and still save money. But I don't eat ribeyes every day. You know, I'm eating chuck steaks and ground beef and things like that. And spending the money elsewhere on things that need to get paid. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We do a lot of chuck roast in the slow cooker, and we'll add a bunch of butter to it. We'll buy the fattiest chuck roast we can find. And we use that slow cooker a lot. I love to tell people I eat ribeyes, but I don't eat ribeyes every day. And I may eat ribeyes 2 or 3 days a week. But I mean, it's mainly ground beef, chuck roast, butter. I eat a lot of eggs. I really need to get chickens. I eat a lot.
Right. Yeah, I do too. I weigh like 145. So I only eat 6 eggs a day, and I'm pretty even keel at 6 eggs. Sometimes I'll bump it up to 7, maybe 8, you know, every few weeks or something, but it's usually 6. But even still, that's a lot. So yeah, it'd be nice to have some chickens on.
Yeah. It always makes for an interesting conversation when we travel. We travel a lot from Charleston to Clemson. And we eat at a lot of Waffle Houses, and people are like, really? I'm like, yeah, they have real eggs and real bacon.
Right.
Now, I have figured out they use soybean oil in everything they make. So now when I go to the Waffle House, I'll get 8 or 10 scrambled eggs without oil. They'll crack my eggs in this bowl without any oil. And one day one chef asked me, turned around, looked at me, he says, hey, I have 100% real butter. Would you like me to use some butter? I'm like, yeah, go for it.
Come on, man.
I said, just not the soybean oil. So, I mean, I don't know if people realize this, but that little scooper that they scoop on the grill or they put in the bowl for their eggs. Right. I had a manager show me that one day, and it is 100% processed soybean oil.
What?
Yes.
I wonder why. That must be to keep it from sticking to the grill or something.
Mm-hmm. Must be. But Waffle House will cook your scrambled eggs without any oil, and some of them will even add butter in there.
Nice. That's good information for sure. Yeah, I love that. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today. I truly appreciate your insight and sharing your carnivore journey with us. I don't doubt that you're going to help thousands of people with your message. And I can tell you have the passion and the drive to continue to share this message. And I definitely implore everybody to go check out Kevin's YouTube channel. I will absolutely link that in the description below. So thanks so much, Kevin. I appreciate you.
Yeah, Adam, I just want to say thank you. I really, from the bottom of my heart, what you and the whole carnivore community, Carrie, what you guys are doing with healing humanity, I just feel so led in my spirit to help you guys any way I can. And I really encourage people to go check out healinghumanity.movie. Get behind this effort. Let's get going with the petition for Jeff and the cancer. I don't know what the future holds with me and all this, but I know that God has a plan, and I can't quite figure it out, but I've just learned to be available and willing to help. So Adam, thank you for having me on tonight. This has been such a treat to get to know you better. And just what little bit of exposure I've had to you and Carrie, you guys are good people, and I'm excited about just the friendship that's going to develop from here.
Absolutely, Kevin. I definitely appreciate that. And we'll be talking soon for sure.
Awesome. Have a good night.
Take care for now.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today.
We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.